And this goes back to the very last days of Innocent III, that great pope who had preached the Fourth Crusade. Once the Fourth Crusade had failed, there were all these other ventures, the famous Children's Crusade. Innocent III and his successors pressed and labored to get the great kings of Europe again back on crusade. Frederick II was seen as a logical choice. I mean, what better way to keep the papacy's reputation and also prevent it falling under the control of the Holy Roman Emperor than sending the Holy Roman Emperor himself out on crusade? And so there were constant appeals and deals with Frederick to get him on crusade. Frederick, of course, stalled repeatedly. He had more important interests. He wanted to impose his authority on his domains in Italy. He saw Germany as a milk cow. He was constantly trying to draw revenues from Germany. Well, at the Lateran Council of 1215, the Fifth Crusade was essentially revealed by Innocent. He himself never was able to actually launch that crusade. It was his successor, Honorius III, who had that crusade preached. In 1217, many nobles across Western Europe, and this Fifth Crusade was a really international operation. Many nobles began to gather, and lesser kings, King Andrew II of Hungary, Leopold VI, the descendant of that Leopold from the Third Crusade of Austria, various nobility from France, England, Frisia, the North German ports. There was a whole fleet that sailed from the North Sea again into the Mediterranean. All of these groups began to assemble, and on this occasion, there were two aspects about this crusade that showed that they had learned something strategically from the 12th century. It was announced that the objective was going to be Egypt. This was not some sort of secret deal back in the Fourth Crusade. They were going to really pull off the strategy that the Fourth Crusade failed to do. And the king of Jerusalem at that time, that rather strange guy, John of Brionne, the titular king, he was hoping that this would come off. Because if you think about it from his viewpoint, back in 1192 with Richard, and then the crusade in 1197 that never arrived with Henry VI, and then the Fourth Crusade. I mean, Outremer was beginning, the nobles and the king of Jerusalem, the nobles of Outremer and king of Jerusalem were beginning to wonder whether any kind of crusade would show up. So this time the party was really on. And in 1217, 1218, a number of these contingents began to arrive by sea, landing at the port of Acre, landing in the Cypriot ports. And the idea was to mass a huge army, invade the Nile Valley, take the city of Damietta. That was their first objective, which is the most eastern port in the Nile Delta, advance up that branch of the Nile, and capture Cairo. And hopefully bring Egypt to its knees, arrange a negotiated settlement. Actually, I think they set off with the notion that it would just not be a settlement. They probably thought they were going to take Egypt altogether, which explains some of the reasons why they blew the negotiations later with Sultan al-Kamil. So in May of 1218, this crusade under a variety of different leaders invaded Egypt. Now, from the start, this crusade had some problems with it. First, it was always assumed that Frederick was on the way. In 1218, when the first forces land at Damietta, they are expecting Frederick to arrive any moment from Italy with a massive force of Germans and Italians. It just never came. Frederick kept stalling, kept promising. The Pope got impatient. The Pope claimed if you didn't leave by such and such date, you're under excommunication, then it would be renegotiated. And what Frederick was doing was playing a very clever diplomatic game to extort concessions out of the papacy and to reduce the Lombard League and his German vassals to his control. Meanwhile, the crusade proceeded. And part of the problem with this outfit is there was no leadership. No one was ever really in charge. The Cardinal Pelagius was sent by Honorius III to represent papal interests. He ends up, by the end of the operation, essentially directing the crusade. And he's criticized, but really had no choice. There wasn't anyone around. John of Brienne, no one took seriously. He wasn't a real king. As I mentioned earlier, he spent a whole year on excursion in Cilicia, trying to find a throne there when his second Armenian wife died. And he's more or less out of it through most of 1220. Furthermore, it's clear that most of these crusader contingents were coming as small groups under specific lords, and there's an extremely good study on this. They couldn't stay in this crusade for more than a year or 18 months. And what happened is, when the crusaders landed at this port, they got involved in a long siege of the port. The Egyptian garrison just didn't panic and surrender. And the result is, for over 18 months, the port is put under siege, and the crusader army keeps changing. You know, forces are there, they die of plague and disease, they get killed in the fighting, they leave, new groups come in, and there's constantly this shifting numbers of crusaders available. You'd have an offensive when a group would come in, and then the group would leave. So all of this complicated the capture of the city. The city of Damiette is finally reduced to submission in 1219. They occupy the city. But at that point, the crusade is financially in trouble. It's had many contingents leave. It's suffered from plague. There's a question of leadership. Cardinal Pelagius is always clashing with King John and the nobility back on up on different sides. And so the result of this is that the crusade is really foundering.